So there's just a few things I'm just going to share tonight, and just things that are on my heart, because I think we've been doing this. You know, there's been some situations that have taken place and happening, and praise the Lord that we've got such a great church with great people that love God and love to go and be a blessing and that care. And that's the wonderful thing about it. Amen? And so, we just rejoice in that. But if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to look at some verses here. And we're going to talk a little bit about praying tonight, but we'll talk about prayers and about praying and about fellowship with God, but particularly one specific kind and just stirring our hearts up. Amen? Because fellowshipping with God is one of the most important, well, it's not one of the most important, it's probably the most important thing you can do is get to know the person, hallelujah, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Get to know what they do, but also realize that we've got an open door to the Father. We've got an open door with the Son, and we've got an open door with the Spirit of God that we actually can pray. We can come in. We can ask. Amen? And not minimizing prayer. You know, we don't do that here. We emphasize it. We build it up. We emphasize the Word of God. And with that, it's why we have results. Amen? We do. We have great results. We pray. We know how to pray. But aren't you glad that we can learn more and more, and that we can also learn to just be more keen in the spiritual realm, because I believe God's going to give us more assignments. And the Spirit of God reminded me today, and today was one of those awesome days where I didn't have to do anything. I got to sit at my desk and pray and study and worship. In fact, I forgot to even call my wife today. That was a bad deal, okay? Got in trouble for that. I got so caught up. I mean, I looked at I had three different Bibles out there. And I had my iPad, my computer on. I was going to town. I was having a blast. Just enjoying God. And I thought, man, this is without interruption. Of course, I had my phone on silent. I forgot about that. So that was okay, too. Hallelujah. It was just one of those things that was like, and so me and the Father were just having a great time. And you know, and I don't usually get those times very often. At times I have to fight for that. But today was just one of those glorious times. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, and we know Ephesians chapter 6, and I don't want to read verse 18 to you. out of the King James Version, it says this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Amen? Told us to pray with all prayer. And when it talks about all prayer, which, you know, when you look that up, almost every other translation says with all kinds of prayer or all manners of prayer. Well, which implies that there's got to be more than one kind of prayer. Amen? Now, we know in studying the Word of God that there's actually 9 kinds of prayer, and each one has its own rules and guidelines for it. So it's making sure that we pray correctly and we pray things. You know, we don't want to try to do basketball by baseball rules. We don't want to do football by soccer rules, okay? Amen. And when you look at that and you see, if we examine these things, there's always a reason of why we seem to think we're not receiving from God. Amen. Because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Jesus said that. Amen. Paul, in praying, when he prayed all of his prayers through all of his letters to everybody else, there was not one time that it seemed like, you know, he said they weren't getting answered. I mean, in fact, in Colossians chapter 1, he said, I pray without ceasing for you. Which meant he was praying all the time, amen, for them. He was making sure that he was constantly doing that, realizing that. And, you know, as I was meditating today and as I was praying, I said, Lord, we're not going to talk about all 9 kinds of prayer or anything. But the Lord's began to kind of just flow up on the inside of me about getting into that place of the Spirit and getting into pray so that we can pray even in a greater effectiveness. And we can actually pray with a pinpoint that he wants us to pray, which I believe when we do that, we're basically praying in the Spirit or getting into that place of the Spirit and receiving what God has. Amen? Because one of the prayers is praying in the Spirit. Amen? Notice he said here in this verse, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And, you know, when you see that whole thing about being in the Spirit, hallelujah, and the Bible talks about that in Ephesians, talks about that in 1 Corinthians, about being in a place to where you're in the realm of the Spirit where God is so much more conscious. You're so much more conscious of God than you are of everything else that's around you. And how many know it's very difficult to get to sometimes? How many know it's very difficult to quiet your mind? Amen? Amen. I remember when I first heard this thing about being in the Spirit, I didn't understand anything. And somebody, then when I heard it being taught, and the person that I was teaching it, I thought, man, this is really awesome. And he said, you know, it took me about 5 hours the first time I tried this to actually quiet my mind and get into a place of prayer. He prayed for 5 hours without getting in the Spirit. That he was the most spiritual man I had ever met. Still is the most spiritual man I've ever met, even though he's in heaven. And I thought, I'm done. I can't pray for 30 minutes. He told me we'll pray for 5 hours. That ain't going to work. God, we're in trouble. And I know my mind. I know my mind. It won't work. But you know what? Through practice and perseverance and through telling my mind to be quiet, hallelujah, I've learned, you know, that, you know. But he also made this statement later on, you know, years later, he made this statement and he said this. He said, you know, it used to take me hours and hours before that. He said, but now it only takes me minutes. And I thought, I want to get to minutes, you know. I want to get to that place where, you know what, I can do. And don't get me wrong, there's times that when there's this burden to pray and I can be in the Spirit in a matter of seconds because there's a burden to pray. But if I'm just going to tell myself, guess what, we're going to pray. My mind says, why? And I said, we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to get in the Spirit to pray in English. We're going to do what 1 Corinthians, in fact, turn over with you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you would there. Turn back, if you would, because it's back behind the 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. And let's look at some things here. Verses 14 and 15. Hallelujah. Because Paul's correcting some things here in the Corinthian church. You know, bless their darling hearts. They thought praying in tongues and doing all the and utterance and all that was the greatest thing, and that they were so far greater than everybody else. And they thought that was the greatest thing, and so they were causing lots of confusion. So Paul wanted to correct them and share, but he didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. He endeavored to not want us to not want to pray in the Spirit. And you know, you can pray in the Spirit in English and you can pray in the Spirit in other tongues. Most of the time when we talk about that, people's mind goes, well, I got to just do this. No, you got to have anointed prayers in English so your mind can be renewed. Thank you for your overwhelming response. But when you understand and know that you're praying the divine will of God and you have a conscience that you're praying the word of God and you're praying and you know that you're praying that which God wants you to pray, you have great boldness. You have great belief to know that your prayer is being answered. And then 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says this. This is the confidence that we have in Christ, or this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask, you know, that if we know that he hears us when we ask our petition, you know, if we have the confidence that if we know that he hears us when we ask, amen, then we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. And we know that if we pray his word and we pray it, we're praying the will of God, because the word and the will of God are the same. But also when there's just at that time when you know this is what God wants me to pray and how he wants me to pray in this situation. Amen? Can you understand that? That way. But now thank God praying in other tongues can help you get to that place where you can get into the Spirit. Amen? And when we talk about those things, people get all nervous. They, you know, and so I'm not going to get nervous because, glory to God, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the truth of the word of God, you know, and it doesn't bother me to continue to speak words of life. Amen? But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14 says, he says, for I pray, amen, in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? Then I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Amen? He endeavors to go on and talk about that I'm going to bless. Likewise, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how then shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? at thy giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand it, talking about it, there's people coming in and talking about it. He said, but you do give thanks well, you know, but the other's not edified. Then, of course, he goes on to say, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And one of the things about praying in the Spirit and getting in the Spirit and understanding that place of it is getting to a place where you're more conscious of what God is wanting you to speak and share than you are of what you want to speak and share. Amen? And many times we know that we're in the Spirit when we're not praying our will, but we're praying His will. We're not drawing attention to us, what we want, but we're drawing attention to what He wants. Amen? It's not my will, but His will that's being accomplished in that. And it's so important because when we understand that, and just to give you a little thing here too, let me just share with you, because when I talk about praying in the Spirit, I'm not talking, you know, about, well, let's just do it this way. I mean, when I talk about praying in the Spirit is getting into a place where you are in His presence to where you know and you have confidence that God hears you and that you have what you're desiring Him to have. And here's another thing. When I talk about praying in the tongues, it's for your devotional side. It's for your own independent side. I'm not talking about, you know, in church, in the sense of what goes on, because there's three things. There's three aspects about speaking in the tongues. There's the devotional aspect, the public aspect, and then the ministry gift aspect. And everybody lumps it together and messes everything up. Because tongues as a ministry gift is totally different than even a public speaking in tongues and being interpretation of tongues. Because there's people that have supernatural ministry gifts of tongues and interpretation that actually equal the equivalent to the ministry of a prophet. You know, one of these times I'm going to go back in and teach the whole school of ministry and teach all that to folks on a separate night or do things whenever I have time. But because we can see how people get all messed up in everything, thinking, well, you do this, this isn't right, that isn't right. And everybody wants to correct you. God bless you. And the key is that God's desire for you is to have your heavenly language with Him, because it's something that God gave to the church. It's God's gift to the church. Amen. We don't see any tongues and interpretation in the old covenant at all, period. It's only in our dispensation. It's only for us. So why not enjoy it? And it's going to be an operation more in our dispensation. It's going to be operation more in the church than any other gift, because it's the one specifically for us. And it's an utterance one, and it has to do with talking. And God wants to get the gospel out. He wants to speak forth, and He wants to do things supernaturally so He can arrest the tension of people to get them saved. Amen. And it's the way He's given unto us so that we have power. And we have authority. And so the enemy fights it so much, he tries to get everybody to argue, fuss, and fight over it. Amen? And it just messes everything up. You know, we see that. We see that happening, and it's like, okay, Lord. And then if people want to fall away from it, they want to back up from it, and they don't want to talk about it or teach on it or, praise God, believe in it and be blessed with it. Amen. And that's why Paul had to correct the Corinthian church here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You're there. Go back to verse 1. And we're going to stay here a little bit and just talk about this. Amen. And talk about praying in the Spirit, getting into the Spirit and realizing, glory to God, our prayers are doing great, but they're going to avail much and even more so. Because, see, I believe God's called us to that. I believe God's called us into a position of that so we can actually not only pray for our church, pray for the individuals here, but God's called us to pray for nations. God's called us to pray for our country. He's called us to be, you know, where we have supernatural experiences in where God says, hey, I need you to pray for this. He's looking for folks to do that. Amen? He is. He really is. He's looking for folks that He can give assignments to. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look for that. We're going to believe for that. But look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think you got to kick over some sacred cows, if you would, just on a few things, you know, because he says this. He basically says that follow after love. Man, if we could get the body of Christ to do that, everything would be good. Yeah. Then he says to desire spiritual gifts. But then he says, rather that you may prophesy. He's basically saying, but the more. He's not saying either or. You have to understand the King James Version and almost all the other translations, it's not, you know, to do this and where you're saying, it's not, you know, do this either or. It just means so much the more. Okay? In that. And then he says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Amen? Aren't you glad that God gave us the ability to just frustrate the devil so much? Amen. What do I mean? Listen, the greatest thing in the world is to be able to pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues, in fellowship with God. And then, of course, you're going to have to quiet your mind because your mind's going to try to go all over. But you've got to quiet your mind, getting your mind into a position where you're focused on the Father, you're focused on what the Holy Spirit wants to say, and getting it into a position of, hey, this is what I want to see and this is how I want to handle it. And what God wants to do. Why? Because God wants to bring you past. Here's the most wonderful thing. God wants to bring you past your understanding. Because see, we think we're so smart. When we get into the Word of God and we get into being with God, all of a sudden we get to thinking that God and I, we just know everything. And, you know, hallelujah, glory to God. And, you know, because look at what it said there in verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Amen. Verse 3 says, he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church, or speaking by inspiration. Amen. And yet, as for us, we need to edify ourselves so much so that we can go out and edify others. Amen? Yeah. I mean, that's what Smith Wigglesworth used to say all the time. He'd say, I have to pray 2 hours before I go out. I need to edify myself before I can go edify somebody else. Paul Youngicho, who had the largest church in the world, he said, before I can preach, I have to pray in other tongues for at least 3 hours before I can actually give utterance or get out there and speak what I've been studying on. Amen? And when I say that, the thing about it is what they're endeavoring to do is get themselves out of themselves and try to get themselves into the Spirit and minister the way God wants to minister in that. And we haven't got into that like we should have. You know, I mean, we should have times where it's just us and Pastor Pamela's on here, and just like that little bit we just did. It was just a little bit. And we were just starting. Because she's incredibly anointed on that. And I mean, for me, she could do that and I could just stay here all day. Yeah. But she can't play that long and she'd be tired. But what I'm saying is that then we need to sing. Singing our understanding by the Spirit of God, just worshiping, but also singing in the Spirit and allowing God to be God in our lives, because times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. But also during those times, God begins to wash us. God begins to show us things. God begins to unveil. And then there's things. That's ministering to the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost wants to say some things. Amen. And so we are gearing up for that. You know, any time you try to do spiritual things, supernatural things, the enemy's always going to try to come in and mess you up. Because everybody wants to be used, or they should want to be used, and then you're going to have people that do with wrong motives, and they don't even really mean to be wrong motives, they just want to be seen. And then if you want to be seen, God doesn't use you very much. Y'all okay? That's just the pastor side of me. Got to share with you. If you want to be seen, then you're in trouble. You're going to end up messing things up. And it gives us, it messes us up when we think that we have to be seen in it. And yet I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire at all. Amen. I mean, I really would. I would do that, because God's desire for us, he calls the Spirit of God on the inside of us. He calls in 1 John 2, he says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Isn't that amazing? He calls the Spirit of God an unction. And in verse 27, it says, you have an anointing that abides within you that you need not that any man teach you. But that same anointing that you have in you, it will teach you all things. Which he's saying, the Spirit of God in you will show you things. It'll teach you. And he wants to have us to have a spirit of seeing and knowing, showing us things so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. You know, we've got to rise up to the next level so God can bring babies in so that we're ready to help the next generation or the next people that are coming in that are going to get saved. You know, it's like what Pastor Pamela has been sharing on Sunday nights. They're saying, listen, we want to get you guys set free. You know how to defeat the enemy so that when somebody else comes in, hey, I know how I can help you, and you can be their mentor. Amen. So we got to let the babies grow up. We got to let the kids grow up. We got to let the teenagers grow up. Why? Because God's getting ready for an influx. But he also wants to understand that we're a supernatural church. And there are things that God wants to do by the Spirit. And he just doesn't, he doesn't want to just do them, you know, through me and Miss Carol. He wants to do it through everybody else. Amen. Now, we're not going to stop. You know, that's not, you know, because, but the thing is that, you know, and we're not going to hog it all. Okay? I mean, she knows that. We've talked about this and stuff. You know, I mean, this is the thing in endeavoring to do, because why is it so important to be used, to know that God used you to be a blessing to others? I mean, how many of you, it's such a joy when you know that God told you to help somebody, or you just felt led to, and when you did it, it was like, wow, man, that felt so good to encourage them. Or you prayed for somebody and God actually heard your prayer. And you went, whoa, you know, see, you know, when it's God, when you get excited too. And you know, because you know, it's not you, it's God. If any of us have ever been used by God, we know that when God does something supernatural, it's because God did it. He just needed a vessel. He just needed an avenue. Thank God he could use us. If he can use a donkey, he can use each and every one of us. Okay. So you classify yourself in that. And the reason you do is because the minute you think it's you, it stops. Amen. It does, you know, and then you'll do something, but it'll just be you and it won't be God. Then it'll be like, oh, what happened? It's like, because you got out thinking it's you and you got to let God. Amen. So when we talk about this, the whole essence of these things here, it's that let this thing begin to stir on the inside. Let it begin to rise up on the inside of us, so that we can pray, knowing that we're praying God's perfect will, God's plan, God's purpose in our lives, hallelujah, for others. Because there's times I know somebody calls and says, hey, there, I say, Lord, I know how I can pray the word of God says this, and I will if you don't give me anything else. But Holy Spirit, what is it that they need right now? What is it that I need to pray for them? What do they need their eyes to be opened in? I can pray, and I want you to pray that you heal them. But Lord, what is it? What do we need right now? What is it? What is it that they need? Do they need favor? Do they need, you know, does there need wisdom in some things? What's going on? What is happening? I don't want to just say, Lord, heal them in Jesus' name. I believe. Here's what the scripture says. And go on like that. I don't believe it's any kind of formula. Amen? I don't think it's formula 404 or formula this. Or I don't think it's formula... You know, and I don't think praying in other tongues is a formula either. You know, I think we need to understand that the Holy Spirit, He wants to form fit it. He wants us to pray effectively in what we're doing and pray for them the way God says to do it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's a divine person. He's a divine person. He's the third person of the God, and He lives and dwells on the inside of us, and He wants us to get it out. Now, we know that even in praying in other tongues, and praying in tongues, in essence, you know, when you think about it, well, it has all the same essence, but it does differently at different times, because there's things God emphasizes, God does. You know, it's like praying in your own prayer closet and praying in a tongue. Not every time you pray in another tongue does it need to be interpreted. But there are times when you're in the presence of God and you pray and you know, I need to know what I just said. That was something from the Holy Ghost that is for me. So Lord, that's when He says over here, He said, you know, for us, He said, listen, you pray that you can interpret. Amen. You pray that you can interpret, and it's okay. You pray. And here's the thing, it takes faith. Amen. And see, believe it or not, for me, the reason this is so vitally important for me to get into the Spirit is because everything I've ever done in ministry, coming out here, going where I went to Pittsburgh, going, everything, I prayed it all out in other tongues. God gave me utterance, told me what to do, and showed me, and it worked. In my own private prayer language, in my own private closet, in my own private, me crying out to God. I know exactly where I was at the time and everything. And a couple of times He had to get supernatural with me. One time it was, you got to stay. And then the next time supernatural was, you got to go. And that's the only two times in all of my life that He's ever had to do that. The other times, it's because I was praying. And praying in the Spirit and praying in other tongues. And then I knew that when I just got through praying, Lord, you want to talk to me. Because it changed. There was an anointing. There was a greater anointing. There was a greater. I just knew. So how'd you know? I just knew in my spirit. It's like, you know, that was good. That was powerful. And the presence. I said, Lord, I need to know what I just said. And the funny thing about it is, He won't tell you until you got to step out in faith and you got to believe. Amen. Now, all of us want to say, well, how does He tell you? Did He give you the whole thing? Just start talking to it? No. Usually He only give me one word. I just get one word. That's all I ever get when Miss Carol talks in tongues and everything. That's just one word. That scares you. Hey, let's everybody go. No, it's okay. It takes faith. But you got to practice. Now, listen, I got one word. That's okay. I remember doing this before. I said, Lord, I'm going to step out in faith. I don't even know if this is right. I don't even know if I'm doing it right. I said, but I do know that I'm going to trust you. And this is what I sense in my heart. This is what I sense you're saying. And I began to speak it out. And I just say this. Then words began to flow. And I began to preach to myself. And I thought, that's pretty good. Yeah, I can see how that might even work. Wow, that's great direction. Wow. And then I just go out. And then I get up. And then I would begin to share and say, this is what we're going to do. And everybody's like, oh, wow, you're so smart. I said, no, God is. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, we have this tendency that we have to get everything in our head, get it all figured out, making sure everything's going to work perfectly before we step out in faith or before we move. And I got news for you. I've been doing this for 46 years, and I have never one time had it out there laid out perfectly. Not one time did he lay it out and say, here's what's going to boom, to the boom. There's been one time that God gave her a vision for us that God laid it out for her. Now she has the one thing we're thinking about. I just wish I could think like she thinks in the one sense. She gets everything detailed. It's like down to the details. And I'm like, how do you get that? I got spot here and spot there. You got to figure out how you're going to get from there to there. You're like, it's like awesome. And it was beautiful and it worked out perfectly. It was awesome. And I'm like, you know, and she hasn't gotten one since. I need to step it up here. Get some more here, you know. Now we're praying. God's showing us both things. But it's, you know, I think we needed that one supernaturally so much in some things that were happening. But, and I share that because I would have automatically, almost most of the time, said, well, that's never going to happen. But I saw it happen. And she explained everything to me, and it happened exactly like she explained it to me. And I was like, man, this is easy. If we had this all the time, we wouldn't even have to pray. We just have to say, yeah, okay, we're good. Well, now what's next? Well, the Lord said, I said, well, let's do this. Amen? But that doesn't always happen that way. And you say, well, how come God did it that way? Because we needed it. Amen? And if God does need it, he'll give you more. But you got to have faith to believe for it. Listen, this is Wednesday night. I know this is being broadcast, you know, and I'll get a lot of comments and questions and all kinds of things that you didn't do this or you didn't do that. But I'm talking about Harvest Bible Church, okay? Because there are those of you here that you have had visions, you have had dreams, you have had things God speak to you that you've dismissed. Now this I say by the Spirit of God, okay? And those that are watching, there are things that are taking place, but God wants us to be more spiritual and realize that, guess what? He's not through with any of us yet. Amen. He's not done. There are visions, there are dreams, and there are supernatural things that you're going to get on the inside that you're going to have. Because, you know, in visions, there's spiritual visions, you know. There's falling into a trance vision, and then there's open visions, okay? So I'm not saying you're going to have open visions, but open vision means your eyes are wide open. You're standing here like this, and you see Jesus or you see a vision. You see everything. But spiritual vision is what most of you are going to be grab a hold of. It's when you're in the Spirit that you're just seeing this. You're seeing this in the realm of the Spirit and seeing which way to go, seeing what to do and what to say. And you're going to see yourself in situations. And it's time that we talk a little bit more about the supernatural and things of God. Yes, God wants to get people saved. Yes, but he wants the church to be the power and the supernatural where that God's word is going, you know. And because I've heard so many times over and over again that, man, it's like I sense this. It's like, yeah, you should have. It's what God's doing. So God's going to use. So he says, yeah, but what if I step out and miss it? Big deal. Join the club. Amen. Come on. I'd rather step out and miss it than not step out and miss it and not do the things that he does with us. And see, the thing about it with the Holy Spirit is he wants to use you and me. Amen. He really does. He really does. He wants to use you and me in that. And the reason being is because the way God uses you and the way God has you speak or has you share something, it'll reach those that I'm not going to reach. Or it'll reach those that somebody else, it'll reach people that, oh, wow, look at what they said. It changes. because God's going to use you. In essence, he's going to use what you're doing. It's going to be a different purpose and a different use, and it comes across in a wonderful way. Amen? And we know you're not that smart, so we know when God uses you and it comes out that way, we go, whoa, look at that. You know that's God because I know her or I know him. That's supernatural. Amen? And yet we have this tendency to draw back thinking, how could God use me? Or God's not going to use me that way anymore. But that's not true. You know? Amen. We've got something in this place that we've, you know, and yeah, those of you watching, I am bragging on our church. Our church is an incredible church. It's very fertile ground. It's a very special place. And the reason it is a very special place is because you guys have been taught the word of God. You know the real. You know the truth. And you also know that you're protected here, not by just by the Holy Ghost, but you're protected here by myself, by Pastor Penn. You're protected. We can fix it. That it's a place that we can actually see God do. Now we got to come together for that, where we do. You know, one of the biggest things we got to come together is what it says. Then you're there and right there in the first verses. Go to verse 26 now, because this is where I want to get you to. We started these things a while back and they got thwarted. We started this, things happened, but we're gonna get back to them here. Amen. And what we're gonna get back to is this: is that. How is it then, brethren, verse 26, that when you come together, every one of you has got something? That's kind of scary, huh? When everybody wants to preach, or everybody has, you know, a psalm or a doctrine, or everyone has a tongue and a revelation, hath an interpretation. Then he says, let all things be done unto edifying. Absolutely, we know we're going to have to do that. Amen? Then he goes on to explain some rules along with it, that if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And that by course, let one interpret. And he says, and then if there be no interpreter, then let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. And no, hey, that's just for you. It's not for the rest of the folks that are there. Amen. And then he says, let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace, which simply means you don't try to do dueling prophecies. You don't try to outspeak each other. You don't try to outdo each other. You know, look what he says in verse 31. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and that all may be comforted. Amen. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means, listen, if you say, oh, I couldn't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Your spirit's subject to you. You don't have to be rude and obnoxious, and you don't have to do that. Yes, you can. Because look at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Amen? And of course, now if we read the next five verses, we could open up so many cans of worm, knock your socks off, get you all excited, and all the guys would be like, see there, see there, see there. And you'd be like, stupid, stupid, stupid. So that ain't going to work in that. I got a whole, you know, 6 weeks of teaching on the woman question anyway. So thank God for women. Praise God. Hallelujah. And, you know, I was reading one of my commentaries today, and I was reading one of my Bibles today that has, and it was the closest to the Greek for the New Testament by all of these Greek scholars from way back when, even till now, and all of the comments by this guy, and his comments are so great during here, because basically, you know, when it gets down to the bottom down there in verse 36, it says, what? Came the word of God to you only? What's wrong with you guys? No. So there was questions and things they were asking, and they were asking the questions, you know, about this and about that. And you also have to understand in that time and age is that most of the god and the goddesses were women, goddesses and stuff. And so women were endeavoring to do a lot of different things and usurp and do things and share. And so it got a little bit crazy along those lines there. But Paul wasn't talking about them not, because he said, thank God that they were. and they could. So we don't want to go into that right now. That'll be a whole nother teaching, you know, along that line. But we have to share that because people say, why did he stop there? We stop there because we don't want to be the author of confusion. Okay? And we want to have peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Amen? We want to have the saints and not the ain'ts. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because why am I sharing this? Because the Spirit of God, in doing this, is that the Holy Spirit's not going to interrupt himself. If someone's being used by the Spirit of God in doing something, God may come on you and say, hey, I'm giving you, or getting revelation, then you just, but you can wait your turn. You can wait. God will always make an open doors for you. Things of the Spirit never grow old. Did you know that? Things that come from God are going to bless you immensely, but they're also going to be, and you know, if it's something that needs to be blessed to the body of Christ, he'll bring it back to you. He'll show you things. By repetition and intensity, he'll show you things over and over and over again. Amen? He'll do those things there. And I wasn't planning on going this way at all. I had a whole, told my wife I had a whole other thing going here, and I got the same notes, but a whole different avenue. Of course, she prayed for me. She said, I'm going to pray that you do it right. I said, okay. So we're going to blame her. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen? You know, in 1 Corinthians 14, going back down here from verse 26, coming back to verse 18, when Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you combined or all of you together. Apparently, and then Paul understood that he had to build himself up. He had to make sure that he was full of the Holy Spirit in order to deal with all this bunch that he was going to have to deal with. And so obviously he practiced that continually. He did the same way that he was telling everybody else to do, hallelujah, because he wanted everybody to have an understanding of the Word of God. He wanted to have an understanding of fellowshipping with God. Amen? And have you know, the Bible says in Jude 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit, filling yourself up, praying, making sure that you're praying out God's will and not your will. Praying out God's plan, not your plan. And it takes time. Listen, it takes time to get your mind quiet, but don't beat yourself up. So say, well, I've been doing, I'm trying. It's okay. Set your mind on him. Because he said he'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is set on him. Do what you need to do. You know, I used to get under condemnation because I like to listen to music. If I'm praying, I like music in the background. I do. I like that. If you put on somebody teaching or doing, I'm dead. I'm going to listen to the teaching. Like if I go to sleep at night, I love music. It doesn't bother me. I can go to sleep. But if you put on Brother Hagin to teach, I got to listen to the whole, well, it used to be I had to listen to the whole first side of the tape, or I got to listen to the whole sermon, you know, amen? So it's like, you know, don't do that because I'm going to stay intent. That's not going to cause me to rest. That's not going to, but music I like, probably because I can't sing, so music is good. So I don't sing with it to mess it up. I just listen and I can pray and I can do things and I can just meditate on him. So it's not wrong to get things that'll help you calm yourself down. Amen? It's not wrong to help you. You don't want to always do that because you want to make sure, okay, I don't want the music clouding me when I begin to pray. But you can still do that too. That's not a problem. But I used to get under condemnation about that. I used to get under condemnation because when I go to pray, I'd think about scriptures. I think about things and I'd want to read them. And I'd be, And then the Lord said, I'm trying to talk to you and you won't let me. I said, because I'm praying. Don't bother me. I'm praying to you. I'm praying. I'm talking to you about some things. I'm praying about these things. Oh, listen, I don't need to know that scripture. I don't even know about that scripture. You buy, you die, you know. And he's like, I'm trying to talk to you and you won't read it. And I said, yeah, but I was taught if I read it, I wasn't praying. You're supposed to be praying, not reading your Bible. I said, but he's the one that told me to read the Bible. He's the one that gave me the scripture, told me to pray that scripture. I did. I used to be so convicted. You know, I was like hiding my Bible. We'd get groups to pray. I hide my Bible. I don't do that anymore. As you know, I don't care. I love God. I'm praying. He gives me scriptures. I can sit there and read the whole chapters. I get caught up and God's speaking to me. He's talking to me. He's doing things. Amen. Because God's opening up our hearts. Amen. And here's the wonderful thing about it. If God, you think God's speaking, you share, and it's okay to be judged. Don't get upset if people says, well, you know, hey, you know, what you could have said like this, or, you know, and all that does is help you. doesn't hurt you. I never got frustrated when people said, hey, you know, can I just, you know, you went like this, and then like this, and maybe it'd be better been done like this. I said, you know, you're probably right. People probably would have understood a little bit better. But I was really nervous, so I said it as fast as I could and as backwards as I could, but it worked, you know. But you see, you learn as you grow in the things of God that we, you know, and if you're teachable, then God can do great things. Amen? Because God's desire for us is for us to learn. And understand this, praying in the Spirit is only one kind of prayer. You know, there's a prayer of supplication, it's a prayer of consecration, it's a prayer of commitment. Of course, there's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of worship. It's the prayer of intercession. And believe it or not, we should be doing all of these. And we need to teach on all of them. We need to share about all of them. We need to understand what we're doing and how we're doing it. But why? Because God wants us to affect our city, our nation, all around us. And he's going to do it through yours and my prayer life. But he's first of all going to affect you. So the reason I said, Lord, why do you want me to jump into this one? This one's like way down the list. He said, I want to jump into this one because I want them to know about their prayers. Because praying in the Spirit is for you. Because then when you get in the Spirit, he can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put this burden on you for intercession because I need you to intercede for this person. They're not going to get well unless you intercede and stand in the gap for them because they don't know how to stand in the gap for themselves. Amen. It's true. We need to. Or there's many times God's going to say, no, I need you to pray because this person is not going to get born again unless you stand in the gap and pray and you intercede for him because he don't know how to do that. And I'm going to bring him in because you've prayed. Amen. That's why Paul, he prayed without ceasing for these folks. He interceded. He prayed. He got in and he was praying and he was, you know, writing letters, but he was praying. Amen. And there's some things in prayer that we can only get by just experiencing those things. Yes, we can talk about them, share with you. But many times God just takes you from one to the next because he wants you to experience the joy of being used by him to touch somebody's life. Amen. I mean, that's God's heart. That is his heart. That is the way. Hallelujah. And here's the thing. You know, when we talk about prayer and we talk about doing these things, you can't really talk about prayer without talking about one of the greatest prayers is a prayer of consecration saying, God, here am I, use me. And the prayer of consecration saying, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do, when you want me to do it, and how you want me to do it. Amen? See, all of us want to help God, but we want to help God our way. And then we want God to help us our way and not his way. But I found out this, if you pray and you get into the presence of God, say, God, here I am. I just desire, Lord, I want your plan, your purpose. I desire, this is what I believe you're speaking, but I want you to mold it and make it. You know, I mean, I pray generally for all of Harvest Bible Church. We pray for Harvest Bible Church. You know, we're doing that. We're believing God with you. We're praying for your health. We're praying for your prosperity. We're praying for God to open up your eyes to see. Praying for God to set you free. We always do that. And because that's our heart. That's our desire. We're the shepherd, so we're going to do that. But then there's specific things. Sometimes God will bring and say, hey, no, we need it. We need to pray. We need to intercede. Now, we don't call you up. I don't call you up and say, hey, God's bothering me about you. What are you doing? Stop. Stop it. I just say, Lord, help them. Lord, what do we need to do? We need to pray. God, open up there. God, protect them. God, do this. You know, I mean, I can use this with my wonderful brother Steve back there. God just had me, but I was praying for him. For things, and then all of a sudden, one time we were just talking. He says, yeah, I just drove my van off the cliff the other day, and I was like, and nonchalantly, he's telling me this. I said, he told me all about it. Thank God, hey, you know. And before that, I'd been praying because I knew his job that he had to go up there in the snowstorm and had to drive from his, you know, from here all the way to Tata to do the business that he has. You know, and I didn't know why I didn't really think about that. I thought, God, thank you. Thank you that, you know, because I really didn't. I mean, I wasn't praying very, really hard and serious for him. I do now, but a little more. But at that time when I just said, you know, and, but praise God. Praise God that he was okay. Praise God that he was protected. Amen. Praise God. And it wasn't, you know, and I'm not saying, oh, look at me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying because I know he was, you know, praying and believing too. But it just, when we see things, you don't know what your prayers are doing. You really don't know when you're just saying, you know what, I sense we need to do this. We do this, you know, and I appreciate that about this about Pastor Pam. She's really, really, really sensitive, which, no offense, guys, most of the ladies, they're just a lot more sensitive than we are. But we're working on it. Guys, we're doing good, amen? And but she'll do it. And she'll be sensitive, but she'll be sensitive, and then she'll, and it's such God, and I say, you need to do this early. Why didn't you just, because she'll say, you know, I've been thinking, and it's just the Spirit of God. I'm like, oh, and so we've talked about this, about, listen, let's jump on this ahead of time, because it's really knowing that, and I appreciate that, because it's thwarted a lot of things, you know, and I really appreciate that about her. I do that to listen. You know, I made a big mistake when we first got married. I told her this sentence. I said, Brother Hagin said this. He said, if these guys would just listen to the Holy Spirit and their wives, they'd be okay. I should have never told her that. She's used that against me ever since. But it's actually been very true. I appreciate that. And if you ain't got one, then that's why we're praying for you double. So that's okay. Hey, listen, let's bow our heads. I got off track. Father, we just thank you and praise you. You're so good. You're so wonderful. Lord, thank you for your truth of the Word of God. Thank you for these wonderful folks. Lord, apparently these folks are ones you're going to use. They're ones that you're going to pour into. They're ones that you want to open up their hearts to receive and use them to be vessels that can bring forth your plan and your purpose in the lives of individuals, not just here, but around the world. Lord, thank you. And those that are watching too, Father, if there's those that stayed with us, thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Lord, I thank you. I mean, sometimes I say things by the Spirit of God and say things, Lord, that make me step back and take notice. But I just trust you. I thank you that your hand is upon us. Thank you, Father, that we can do that. And I thank you for Harvest Bible Church. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.